it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, and it's a Friday, 11 o'clock, which means one thing, maybe not one thing alone, but it's one thing that I'm very happy about. We welcome in Brandon Scott to the hour. What's happening, man?
Man, y'all brought so many memories back with these cop stories, and I'm so glad that the Lord has delivered me into this place where I don't interact with the police at all these days, other than my retired cop father, you know, every several days or so. But yeah, man, I've got stories and stories upon days, but I can think of one that was actually really funny and like related to my dad being a cop. Okay, So at the time, he's still on the force at the time, and we are assigned to run an errand to Walmart. It's late at night. It's my girlfriend at the time who became my wife. Rest in peace. A shout out to her. We make this run to Walmart, okay, in my dad's car. All right. And on the way back, I get the you know, brilliant decision that I want to smoke a spliff at one of the parks nearby.
Yeah.
Not the park in my neighborhood, but a neighborhood that you have to pass by to get to mine. Right. You know, I'm in my early 20s, I don't want to do this at the parents' house. Out of respect, I'm just going to do this at the park real quick, okay? So I'm there doing my thing, and the police pull up drive-by style. Not like just riding around police in the
park. Slow down.
But you know the thing where the police is going less than 5 miles an hour, and they've got all their lights shut off. It's pitch black, okay? It's nighttime, pitch black. They got all their lights shut off. I'm talking about all traffic lights. All of their lights on the
everything.
Car shut off.
Yeah.
And then they see me. Whoop, whoop, speed up. Bright lights, everything. Okay, sirens and everything. They caught me. They caught me with half a spliff. Oh my God, the world is over with. And so, of course, I try to, you know, throw it, tuck it, whatever, and get ready for this encounter. And they find it. They put me in the car and all of this other type of stuff. And immediately I realize I'm in my dad's car.
Yeah.
My dad, sometimes sloppily, would keep the 9 in the car.
Oh no.
So I said, hey, guys. I just need to, before you go look in the car, I need to tell you something. There's a gun in the car.
Oh, all right? My God.
There's a gun in the car, but it ain't mine.
Oh, no. That sounds worse.
Hey, yeah. But
I've never heard that before.
Hey, but here's how it's better. In fact, it's yours.
Yeah.
Because it's my dad's. Well,
good call by you.
It's my dad's departmental 9.
Yeah.
It's an HPD firearm.
Yeah.
So I said, actually, guys, it's your gun.
You said it like that?
I didn't say it exactly
I feel like the way that you rolled that out wouldn't have worked.
It's your damn.
I was doing that for the effect of the story.
Sure.
But what I told them was like, call my dad.
Yeah.
Call my dad. You know, I did the ultimate, like, hey, call my dad thing, right?
Yeah.
So he can kind of explain to you what's going on. And also, like, honestly, the reason why you don't want to probably take me to jail with your own gun as the evidence. Like, we just probably don't want to do this. We all probably just go home. And so when they see the gun, the guy immediately goes, cuff him. You know, cuff him and puts me in the car. All right. And so I'm like, guys, it's not my gun. I don't even know how to use a gun. I was trying to give him that whole bit, even though I did. And but, you know, trying to like make it clear this is not my gun. They call my dad. My dad is like super embarrassed by the whole thing because you're probably not supposed to keep the gun in the car, especially not the departmental gun.
Yeah.
And eventually I get to go home on cop kids privilege.
Yeah.
Even though I was definitely in the wrong, definitely doing something illegal, definitely doing something that could have gotten me put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually the fact that I had the gun on me.
It helped you.
That kind of helped me and saved me in this instance.
That is wild.
Yep.
I'm sure your dad didn't say anything about it.
Oh, he wasn't thrilled. He wasn't thrilled. But hey, take that gun in the house next time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's your fault.
Yeah. A little bit of wrong made a right in that instance. That's weird.
Run your own Walmart errands.
All right, let's go around the NFL now. I don't know that is a precursor that I anticipated to talking about Jordan Love, but here we are. 27-18 victory for the Green Bay Packers. That, if I'm going to be entirely honest, did not feel nearly that close, especially because for me, I had forgotten something, and it literally took like the second drive or the second score that the Packers had where I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Matt LaFleur as play caller really eats Dan Quinn as defensive play caller's lunch, and it showed up once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely did. And like, for me, I was actually surprised to see the final score because it was such a dominating performance to me. I actually punted on this early. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I can do something else with the rest of my night because this is a wrap. And so when I saw they actually kind of made it at least look
late, it was fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was garbage time stuff. They made it at least look as close as they did, even surprised me because I thought this was that dominating of a performance. I've been saying this since the Micah Parsons trade. I feel like this is the Jordan Love year now. Like, I feel like that just, like, it probably already would have been because we're talking about year three as the starter, you know, your time to emerge. But then they punctuated with the Micah Parsons trade. Now I'm like, man, they got all the pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is coming together for them. And Jordan Love, to his credit, through these first 2 weeks of the season, has looked fantastic. And then to Reggie's point, you got one of the better play callers in all of football on top of it.
My whole thing all night long, and I mentioned it last week when the Packers were so dominant against the Lions, I've got serious FOMO with the Packers and Jordan Love. You mentioned it, year three, time to shine. Well, I mean, it's just great defense, a terrific play caller, a quarterback who's blossoming, a quarterback who's allowed to let it rip. I just feel like, that should be us.
You know what stood out to me about the game last night, and this wasn't until after the game that I really thought about this, kind of just reading over gamers and stuff like that at the end of the night. They were without two of their offensive linemen.
Yes, two linemen.
Yeah, and maybe this was pointed out throughout the game and I just wasn't paying attention closely enough, and I just didn't think about it. But it wasn't until I was like really reading it in print of like, man, they were without two offensive linemen. And who knew?
Yeah.
Who could tell? Like, what was the major difference? Why could you not tell as much? Because for one thing, the guys that stepped up clearly stepped up, you know, in a major way, but also the main pieces that matter, the quarterback, the play caller, they were all on point.
Mm-hmm. No, they absolutely were. Some other things that came out. Well, actually, I just want to start here because you mentioned Micah Parsons clearly made a big difference. And maybe this is also the other way that we can bring this back to the Texans, because Jaden Daniels, obviously now almost inextricably linked with CJ Stroud when we talk about quarterbacks. Is it possible that we're seeing somewhat of a similar trajectory early? Overreaction, get it, but that was not the best version by any means of Jaden Daniels that we saw. Obviously, that you look at the box score, and it's not nearly, it's not terrible. You have Jaden Daniels, 24-42, 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns. The QBR is rough. The passer rating isn't the best, and you saw him dealing with what was an incredibly effective pass rush by the Green Bay Packers in no small part because they have Micah Parsons getting quick pressure.
Yeah, but on the Jaden Daniels point, it is almost early, right? Only two games in, but it almost feels exactly like the C.J. Stroud situation, like almost to a T, where it's the numbers aren't as great. Even the performance is a little bit underwhelming for such a high standard that he set in the rookie year, which is the exact same thing that C.J. Stroud did.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He still looks pretty good. Like, he looks fine to me. Like, outside of some things that you could obviously nitpick and criticize, he still looks like that guy. Like, I even think about week one where he wasn't amazing but good enough. It reminds me a lot of how C.J. Stroud was last year, where he was still good. I would even argue very good, but not as good as the rookie year. And because of that, because of the own expectation and the own high standard that he had set for himself, it kind of left a lot to be desired.
And the big story being, you know, how is he going to progress over the course of the year? Because, you know, Figgy has talked multiple times about maybe they should have gotten a veteran, you know, play caller here rather than a first-timer. You know, how is that going to play out in Washington with Jaden Daniels, making the adjustments to the adjustments of his second year?
Yeah, and that's that's a big part of it, the adjustment to the adjustment. And then, like we talked about with Jordan Love and we're talking about with C.J. Stroud, year three is a lot of the times when we decide that. Okay, so they had that second year where there was the adjustment and they needed to make the adjustment to the adjustment. Yeah. Now, year three, all the cards are on the table. what this guy is, how the league is going to respond to them. Okay, what happens in year three? And so that's where we're at with C.J. Stroud, and that's where Green Bay's at with Jordan Love and him being in the third year being a starter.
Are they the best team outside of the Eagles, or are they better than the Eagles?
That, I think, remains to be seen because, like I said, I don't know how much I take for the Packers out of this one because of the schematic advantage that clearly remains there with Matt LaFleur and over Dan Quinn. They looked really good in this, and let Michael Parsons tell it, they have the opportunity to win a championship because he talked about it. Best in the NFL, like saying that and saying defense wins championships, obviously alluding to his addition to that Jeff Hafley defense. They look really good. I obviously want to see more of it, but it seems like they do have an opportunity at the very least to contend with the Eagles for being the best team in the NFC.
I don't want to minimize it because obviously we're talking about how impressive they looked last night, and they absolutely did. But when we talk about better than the Eagles or as good as the Eagles, next best than the Eagles, it's hard to not think back to that Buffalo Ravens, that Ravens Buffalo game and feel like one of those teams was like, they got to be it.
Yeah.
And it could be because they got those guys, but that's, you know, big reason why I'm highlighting.
I was thinking more NFC, but
I'm with you. Like, I just, when you say outside the Eagles, I'm thinking, I immediately go to that, to that game. But in the NFC, I think for a while it had been the Lions, and clearly, you know, we saw what the Packers did to the Lions. We got our questions about what they look like without their coordinators, even with a lot of their players that were injured back. And the Packers look like the flavor of the month with good reason right now.
Well, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year, which is like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'm glad you mentioned that Ravens-Bills game because, interestingly enough, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens made mention of why he believed that there was a little bit of a defensive collapse there. Zach Orr said that the team's defenders were, quote, mentally and physically wore out after the end of the contest. Fair or foul, gentlemen, especially in a week one matchup that you knew was coming?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I think it's fair.
I think it's fair. Yeah, I do. I think it's fair as well. Like, it sounds
87 snaps after, you know, everybody knows how the preseason is played out these days.
34 in the fourth quarter alone.
Yeah.
It sounds like excuse making, but it's also easy. It would be easy for me to say, right, as somebody that's not tasked with doing this on a weekly basis or this being your job. Like, it is a lot that is demanded upon them, and I think that it's fair.
See, and that's kind of tricky, too, because I feel like, I think it was, what was the play where John Harbaugh didn't go for it? He punted the ball
back. 4th and 3.
Yeah, and that's the drive after they had
At that point, if I know my defense is kind
of
gas, I got to try to run the ball with Lamar or Derrick Henry to try to end this game because I can't put my defense back out.
Not Derrick Henry. He's easy to tackle.
That was one of the clear criticisms, and, of course, you set me up perfectly there, John Lopez. In this continued NFL, around the NFL, fair or foul, Grant Delpit, defensive player for the Browns, defensive back, that is, said that Derrick Henry is not hard to tackle. Derrick Henry's response? We'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, we will.
Whose side do you sit on? Is it fair or foul that what Grant Delpit says about the one that they call King Henry?
Yeah, and Mount Everest isn't hard to climb. Like, let's just go down the list of the things that are actually really hard to do, and let's say that they're not. I would like to think that Grant Delpit is trying to psych himself out or trying to convince himself of that, because, like, what do you want Grant Delpit to do to just be, like, overwhelmed and just in awe of the fact that he's
going to say, oh, he's always a tough challenge. No, you know how it's played.
Yeah, you can say that, but you can also say what you want.
Yeah.
And apparently this is what he wanted to say, and this is how he wants to play it. But what Derrick Henry said...
It's
also the truth, though. Like, when they did that Ravens documentary maybe a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, about the 2000 Ravens, there was a quote from Shannon Sharpe in there about how, you know, the thing I love about football is that we get to talk throughout the week, but come Saturday or Sunday, you got to show me.
Yeah.
Like, all of that talk, all this talking that we doing on a football Friday is fun, it's good, but the great thing about football is that you actually got to go out there and do it and show it and put your money where your mouth is, and so he's going to get an opportunity to do that.
A couple of notes. Austin Ekeler, who, if you're watching that game, you saw he went down and it felt pretty evident what happened. Unfortunately, those suspicions were correct. Torn Achilles, which sucks because he's had that before, if memory serves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he's an older running back. This feels like this could be the end for him. And the tough part about life and sports sometimes is that what is clearly a terrible thing for one person can be a great thing for another. Jacory Kroski-Merritt feels like this is going to be an opportunity for him to jump up into a real, you know, real place of producing for the Commanders. And then also, Jaden Reed will miss 6 to 8 weeks with the broken collarbone on the other side for the Packers there. So a couple of injuries that are being dealt with on those side for both of those teams. And then Ed Oliver will not play versus the Jets week two, since we were not talking about the Bills earlier.
Yeah, no, all of those injuries that you mentioned are, I think, significant for their teams, like to be without any of those players for a while. But the Austin Ekeler thing, really, like personally for me, observing it, it's wild to go from like thinking about something that doesn't really matter to something that does really matter, like what you illustrated. Because before he got injured, I was thinking about Tyler's best bets at the end of the night or at the end of their show that they do, Tyler's best bets. He had like the over on Austin Ekeler receiving yards, and I don't think Austin Ekeler got anywhere close to it. Like, he was nowhere close to it, right? Yeah. And so I'm thinking about that, which is a trivial thing. It has something to do with our station and our shows or whatever. And then he goes down with this serious injury, and I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's actually significant. Not Tyler's a low bet. Sorry, Tyler. But, like, this dude who's been injured before is now injured again in a significant way. It's really tough to watch.
Yeah, real quick before we go around the NFL, this is an injury note that pertains to your Houston Texans. Luke Goedeke, I'm pretty sure I said his name wrong. I never remember how to say it. He is the right tackle that just got paid big money for the Buccaneers. He's not practicing again today.
Is Wirfs, because that's the one I wanted to watch. Was Wirfs did...
Wirfs was, I think he was a limited participant yesterday. So he could return, but I mean, you also... if you this is the other tackle on the other side that might not play for the Bucs. In fact, it seems more and like more and more likely that he won't play. So maybe I'd be interested in seeing what their offensive line shuffle might be, because they already moved their center, Graham Barton, to tackle last week. So they've got some things that we're going to have to see, and that might portend some big things for the Texans defensive line.
Tristan Wirfs is practicing, but still somewhat in the air, you know, if he's going to play.
I'm just keeping note of how every other team, at least the ones that take themselves seriously, how every other team is dealing with these offensive line issues or these injury issues when they got to shuffle guys around. How does it look versus how it looks here locally in Houston? And, it is worth monitoring.
Yeah, and we'll have an opportunity to see it very, very close on Monday. That is 6 p.m. You'll hear right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We still got our guy B. Scott in the studio, and when we do, we got to get his thoughts. We'll get those next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.